WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Fuel prices are up around 50% in the WMRA region since the war on Iran began on February 28th. Changes are coming to regulations of electronic cigarettes. And we revisit a Revolutionary War-era POW camp in Albemarle County. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, May 13. Gasoline prices in our area have increased by nearly 50% on average since President Trump launched his war on Iran 10 weeks ago. According to the price tracking site GasBuddy, a gallon of regular gas now ranges from around $4.06 to $4.27 in our region. And that's an increase of more than a dollar from an average of $2.75 a gallon on February 28th. Diesel fuel prices are also up about 50% over the same period, from around $3.72 to around $5.59 now. That increase is filtering into the rising costs of goods shipped by truck. Yesterday, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported the highest increase in the annual inflation rate in 3 years. In April, the annual inflation rate rose to 3.8%, driven largely by surging energy costs due to the war in Iran and the resulting closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Virginia's General Assembly and federal officials have both tweaked regulations regarding electronic cigarettes, or vapes. Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner reports.
New rules by the Federal Drug Administration released this month aim to combat, quote, illicit tobacco products in this country, and they do so by expanding the number of approved vape products that could be sold in the U.S. Legislation in Virginia aimed to curb vaping, or at least the number of stores selling dangerous, unregulated products, is set to go into effect this summer, and Virginia Attorney General Jay Jones says the federal and state efforts complement one another.
Well, look, the good news is that FDA-authorized products are eligible for inclusion on our directory, our product directory, and we're excited because on July 1, it will become harder for minors to buy vapes in Virginia than it ever has been before.
Virginia's vape registry went into effect last year, but it relied on a list of FDA-approved vapes to help define which were and were not legal. Now, after much waiting, that list will help inform Virginia law. From there, Jones' office and the State Alcohol Beverage Control Authority, or ABC, will take over enforcement.
We will maintain the directory and then continue to work with ABC from an enforcement perspective, which we think is the right scheme to really make a meaningful impact to get these products out of children's hands.
Virginia's new vape law goes into effect July 1st. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
It could take up to 8 months to name Virginia Tech's new president. Cardinal News reports the search committee to replace former President Tim Sands met for the first time on Monday. The group includes the university's Board of Visitors, Alumni Association members, and a Boston-based firm which was hired to lead the search. The firm, which also assisted in replacing former UVA President Jim Ryan, said it could take between 6 to 8 months to understand the university's needs, recruit candidates, and ensure all members of the tech community feel included in the process. This week is Police Week across Virginia. Modern policing works very differently than it did just a few years ago. Radio IQ's Michael Pope has more.
Since 2020, Virginia has repealed the death penalty, implemented earned sentence credits, changed how probation works, allowed for expungement of criminal records, created mental health alternatives, and eliminated jury sentencing. Alexandria Commonwealth's attorney Brian Porter says the biggest change to policing in the last few years has been decriminalization of marijuana.
That's really changed the context of policing. Many searches by police officers were predicated on the odor of marijuana emanating from a motor vehicle pursuant to a traffic stop. And that's now no longer a valid reason to conduct a search of a car. That's explicit in the code, and it's something the legislature has made very, very clear.
Sean Winetta is a criminal justice reform advocate for Cavalier Consulting, and he says the biggest reforms have been ending the failed war on drugs and abandoning the harsh mandatory minimum sentences of the 1990s.
What we know from all the data is that severity of punishment doesn't deter behavior. Certainty of punishment does. So I think there's been more efforts into making sure that people are caught versus making sure that people are punished really harshly, and also making sure that we're getting people resources they need to, you know, maybe address the issues that they had that led them to criminality.
Advocates say another consequential change that will yield future reform is all the new data officers now collect about their interactions. Michael Pope.
Finally today, in Albemarle County, the names Hessian Hills and Barracks Road serve as reminders of a POW camp from the Revolutionary War. Also with Radio IQ, Dave Cantor has the story.
After their capture at the Battle of Saratoga, thousands of British and Hessian prisoners of war, as well as their families, began a journey from Massachusetts to Albemarle County in November 1778. The move was intended to keep the risk of their rescue to a minimum. The POWs headed toward several hundred acres near Ivy Creek, owned by Colonel John Harvey, an attorney and Virginia delegate to the Second Continental Congress. Enslaved people cleared the undeveloped land, and simple housing structures started to go up, the Albemarle Barracks. Travis Shaw works with the Virginia Piedmont Heritage Area and took part in a recent chat about the barracks hosted by Encyclopedia Virginia. He said 18 people lived in each of the 300 huts.
So they begin arriving at the barracks in January, again, kind of arriving in stages. And what they find there is, I think, profoundly disappointing. Most of the huts were unfinished at this point, or so poorly constructed that they're pretty much uninhabitable. And it's really up to them to kind of improve them and put them into some sort of livable condition.
They built churches, stores, and taverns, and Thomas Jefferson visited a theater that was constructed there. A combination of local militias and Virginia troops guarded the new outpost, though higher-ranking officers were given significant leeway and allowed to live elsewhere. In October 1780, the British landed in Portsmouth, again presenting the Americans with the possibility of a mission to rescue the soldiers. By February of the next year, the Albemarle Barracks had been abandoned and the POWs moved north. None of the encampment's buildings now exist, in part due to locals picking over the evacuated parcel. A historic marker along Barracks Farm Road and some other local place names today serve as reminders of the soldiers' temporary home. I'm Dave Cantor.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.